When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fresher than whole, riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking at. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm young.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Ferrari Nice. What's that? We're in Modena. We're driving around the town square. We're in gorgeous Italian leather jackets.
We're smoking inside. Oh my word. We're drinking
red wine.
Oh, outstanding.
Having pasta. I'm Katie Walsh. This is Blake Howard. We have another fantastic episode of Ferrari Nice. And an interview, a really interesting interview with an actor who you probably will not recognize his name offhand. He gets the and introducing credit. He's a Brazilian actor named Gabriel Leone, and this is his first big international film. And we had a great discussion with him. He's so sweet, really humble, and it's just such a treat to talk to an actor, you know, in their first big movie for the first time, and also to talk to an actor who's like working with Michael Mann for the first time.
Amazing.
And what that experience was like for him, what, you know, the preparation was like, the weight of being a young actor working with a legend such as Michael Mann. So it was really interesting just to catch him at this moment in time.
Yeah, there's something, you know, in the interview, Katie says it, like, there's something so serendipitous. This is a guy who is having, I guess, the key racer of the focal point racer of this movie because of when it's set in Ferrari's life story. Being this young emerging actor who's kind of unknown, he has to stand in front of all these other actors, especially Adam Driver, who he admires and deeply, and he's there doing the thing. And he's on the cusp of like being at and center in a Netflix series, who is the most one of the most beloved Brazilian athletes of all time. And he's going to be portraying him in a mini series about his life story. And so it's so lovely to talk to him. He's incredibly humble, incredibly sweet. And, you know, he talked to us about his earliest memories and experiences of movies and how that had a great serendipitous quality with working with Michael. He was just a sweetie pie. So we're really looking forward to you listening to it. It was a great chat. So cool to catch him. And I don't imagine that we're going to be as lucky to easily talk to Gabriel Leone.
I know, he's about to be a massive star.
He's going to explode. Like, I think, you know, after Ferrari, people are going to see him and go, who is that guy? And then, of course, once this Netflix series hits, knowing the popularity of Senna, if the series is great, and I'm sure that he is terrific in it, yeah, we're on the cusp of something here. So it's super exciting to be like, man, we just spoke to a guy who is literally about to absolutely pop off and explode here. It's really cool.
And he talks a lot about like Michael's process, the craft of making the film, which is really exciting to get those behind the scenes details.
Driving, learning to drive without fear, aggressively.
Right.
Like, yeah. I was like, man, what a cool first big job, right? My word.
But
it's going to set him for life. It's awesome.
You know, I recently wrote a Letterboxd review where I just said, it was of Last of the Mohicans. And I said, Michael Mann fundamentally understands male beauty. And I'm just going to say Gabriel Leone pretty good example of that.
He is cute, and he's got those. He's got his Et and Senna hair right now.
Okay.
A little bit longer.
Yeah.
A little bit longer, if you know, like beautiful curls. Senna was like a good-looking guy. Yeah. Leone is like another step up. He's not like just like a normally good-looking person. He's an actor and a musician and stuff. So yeah, right. I mean, yeah, so not quite the Dirtbag Hall of Fame, but very beautiful.
I mean, so much about what I loved about Ferrari. I was like, gorgeous guys in gorgeous Italian clothes. I mean, what's not to like?
What's not to like? Fast cars. Yeah, I sort of bastardized a Johnny Depp quote from Public Enemies, like as John Dillinger, where it's just like, I like fast cars. I like Michael Mann. I like Italian suits. I like red wine. I like Penelope Cruz. Literally, what else do you need to know? Like, what? You think I'm going to go into this and not like this movie? Are you kidding me? This has all the stuff I like, including some absolutely exquisite scenes. And one of my favorite scenes, which is not a racing scene, and Katie and I both agree, like, there's a fantastic couple of scenes where you're kind of in the inner sanctum of the races and Enzo when they're eating lunch together at the Ferrari factory, having conversations, and we get to break down like one of my favorite scenes. So that was such a treat to talk to Gabriel.
That was really cool. Yeah.
So have a listen to this, enjoy it. We won't be back at the end of the interview because it wraps up so beautifully. So we'll leave you with that, but just thank you again for everything. We hope you enjoyed the Michael Mann interview. If you haven't, if you've seen this pop up in your feed, Ferrari and Ice, huh? That's funny. Why we did it is because we interviewed Michael Mann, so go back in the feed a little bit and you'll see that if you haven't already listened to it. But it was fantastic to talk to Gabriel, so enjoy. Hey, Gabriel.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Gabriel.
Congratulations. Are you fresh off of the LA premiere?
Yes, we just had it yesterday.
I hope it's a nice morning. I hope it was big and celebratory. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning. We would imagine you'd want to sleep in, but we appreciate your time very much.
Thank you.
So firstly, like, congratulations. Like, there's a great story that Quentin Tarantino tells. When he made his second film, he got an Oscar. And Steven Spielberg said to him, goes, film number two, Little Gold Man, that's pretty good. And I look at your career and I'm like, you've been acting for 10 years and just this year you're like in a Michael Mann movie and you've been announced to be Senna in the upcoming Netflix series. And I'm just like, you are winning so much right now. How does it feel? Like, I just want to get a sense, like, is it overwhelming to think like it's less than 10 years that you've really been acting full time? You're a musician first. Tell us about how you're feeling right now.
Yes. I'm having a great time now. Also super tired because, as you said, I'm just finishing Senna's series.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually leaving, like, in a few hours. I'm leaving to Ireland to last 3 days of shooting there, and then we'll be fully wrapped, the series. But since I did Ferrari last year, it's been like a year and a half on the road, away from home, but I mean, I couldn't be happier. It's a great moment, great projects, great characters. And of course, for me to have my first experience working in the international market, being directed by Michael Mann, and I know how long he's been trying to do this project, so it's a live project for him. And I mean, it couldn't be a better start for me. It's a dream project for me, and I had an amazing time with them, being directed by him. We really connected through the movie, and of course most of my scenes were with Adam, and Adam is a big reference for me. I respect and admire him so much, and we also had a great time. So yeah, I mean, it's more than 10 years acting. But I'm leaving an amazing moment now.
Were you a fan of Michael's movies, or what was your reaction when you found out you were, I mean, auditioning for him, the casting process? Like, he's such a legend of American cinema. Like, what was your thought going back? What were some of your favorite Michael Mann movies?
Yes, I have a cool story with Michael. I love to share it. One of the first movies that really got stuck into my head, like adult movies, not like animations. When I was a kid, probably at 10, my dad watched it with me, The Last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I still don't know why he did that, because it's a pretty shocking movie. It's brutal. It's so real. But still, my dad always loved epic movies. So we watched that, and it got stuck into my head. I think I spent, I don't know how many nights with that, with those images, my dreams. And that was even before becoming an actor. So that movie stayed with me for all those years. And then I became an actor. I started understanding more of Daniel's work on that movie and Michael's directions, and the soundtrack became my favorite soundtrack of all time. And I rewatched it, I don't know how many times. But that saying, the first time my dad went to Europe was last year while I was shooting the movie. And he came to Modena, and I took him to the set one day, and he was there watching Michael directing me. And at the end of the day, I introduced him to Michael. Michael was super kind with him. And I don't know, for me, just to be there, seeing my dad talking to Michael Mann, and Michael was directing me, was kind of like a full circle. I couldn't stop remembering the young Gabriel watching The Last of the Mohicans with my dad at home. So
that's such a beautiful story.
Yeah, yeah. It was a very special moment. And
you have a lot in common with Michael. Did you know that one of the first movies he remembers seeing with his dad and family was the original 1930s Last of the Mohicans?
When he
came off making, it was like after The Keep and Manhunter and things like that, he was looking for a new project. And he goes, I keep thinking about this epic. Oh, why don't I go and make Last of the Mohicans? Because it's been in my brain since I was a child. Not quite as brutal as his Last of the Mohicans for a child, because I think we're a similar age. So I imagine, like, when you're younger, you're watching Last of the Mohicans. And I think about it too. I'm like, my dad loved Last of the Mohicans. We watched it all the time. And it's like, there's hearts being torn out. There's people getting bashed with hatchets. You know, it's very violent, but it's
burned alive.
It's just, yeah, it's exactly. everything stays with you, like the emotion it's so sensational. So yeah, you both had that. And he went and goes, oh, I'm going to go make Last of the Mohicans.
So maybe I'm going to do the next remake of Last of the Mohicans.
There you
yes.
go.
Yes. Yes. This is the legacy.
We're calling it now. I'm calling it now. Let's do it. 100%.
Okay. I'm in.
It's really cool that you are, you know, you're playing Senna, or you're in the process of shooting it. I mean, can you talk a little bit about playing these two racers? I mean, you must have taken a lot of, you know, what you learned on Ferrari to Senna. Like, what were some of the things that you picked up? I mean, aside from some of the driving stuff, but like things that about playing these two different drivers.
Yes, it was totally coincidence. I did the audition for Senna like a couple of weeks before going to Modena last year. And I got the job when I was there. I heard the news that I would play Senna. And at that time, so before Ferrari, I didn't know much about racing, about like Formula One. And I don't know, I think for us Brazilians, I'm from 93. And Senna died in 94. So I was 1 year old. I barely remembered him. But I think that after Senna's death, Formula One for us Brazilians passed through a kind of a grief. So we had two other great drivers, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same feeling. So I grew up, my generation grew up in a scenario that people weren't that much into Formula One anymore. But I grew up listening to Senna's stories in my family and friends. So I think he's, even if you weren't there while Senna was driving, he's an idol for all of us Brazilians for all the things he did for us. And but so I wasn't that much into Formula One before Ferrari. So that was the start for me when I started learning, understanding more about the sport. Of course, watching the races. Through the shooting I made to Monza GP. We went there, so it was pretty special to be on a Rio GP and to understand more about that universe. And one of the scenes of Ferrari we did in Imola. So I was driving on the same track. Senna crashed and died.
Oh my God.
And there is this beautiful park outside on the outside of the track. And there's an amazing, gorgeous statue of Senna there. So I was like wearing Deportivo stuff, my makeup and costume. And I went there, took some pictures with the statue because I knew I would play him. But definitely the Ferrari process was fundamental, I'd say, for all that I'm living now at Senna, because we had almost 2 months of prep with stunt drivers that was like changing game for me, because I know how to drive like regularly, how to drive in the city. But to drive on a real track with a real racing car, it's totally different. So it took me a while to change the mindset from driving defensively to more aggressively, like really competing. And it was super important to have this opportunity to be there with the stunts. Of course, for Ferrari, because on Ferrari, there are a few bits that I'm really driving. And Michael, as we were talking about Mohicans, Michael's way of shooting, of Michael's way of facing his work, he looks for realism. So he wanted us to drive the most we could. But more than that, he wanted us to look confident, to look connected to the cars. And that's why we had all those practice. And so it was super important for Ferrari. And of course, now to Senna also, because even if they're one of them is from the 50s and Senna was from the 80s, 90s. So the characters are really different, but still they're racing drivers and still they have this kind of addiction for adrenaline and for competition. So they have this in common, and for me was kind of a coincidence. I'd say now I'm a Formula One fan, and I know a little bit more than I knew when I started, and that's it. Getting to the end of this process now, Senna's process, it's like, I don't know, life helped me in this way, because to do these two roles on the straight, it was like really helpful to have the first experience to this actual one.
Mm-hmm. When I was, I'm not a big Formula One fan either, but one of the most emotional screenings I've ever been to in my life is a Sydney Film Festival screening of the Senna documentary. And I got to see it, and it's about 2,000 people in the theater. And it was like going to a rock concert. People were cheering, laughing, and then people were openly emotional and I just had no idea, and it made me go down the Senna rabbit hole. And it's such an amazing documentary. For people who are listening to us talk to you now, I can't wait to see you do it. It's so exciting. But I love that you said that, you know, one of the ways that I would describe Michael Mann, he doesn't work all the time with like method actors like Daniel Day-Lewis, but he's a method director. So he imposes research and those things and preparation on the people that he works with. So it's exciting. But there's other, your peers in this movie, some of the other actors, I wonder, I'm not sure about like Jack O'Connell, but Patrick Dempsey like races cars. So like it makes so much sense. It's like, oh, Patrick Dempsey, he can drive. He's probably wanted to work with Michael Mann for some time, so it's good. But it's just really interesting to hear you going like, oh, I'm just a normal driver and I'm now racing around the cobblestone streets of Italy in really fast cars as safely as I possibly can. That's just insane. Please tell us about, you know, you have this sensational scene. It's such a underrated scene in the whole movie, where you as Dipo Targo basically go to meet Ferrari, and it's so exciting. You see him across the street, you go talk to him, and he drives away. And I feel like you as an actor that's working in Brazil coming up, it's like, I looked at you there and I was thinking about it. I was like, that's almost like you in this role. It's like you see the man, you know, Ferrari, Michael Mann, and you see the man and you're like, I'm going after that man. I'm going to do whatever I can to work with him. And I'm like, was it funny? Did you ever think about any of that stuff when you were doing it? Or is that just a beautiful coincidence in the way that this all came together?
No, I definitely had this thought because it was the first scene I shot.
My first
scene was the one leaving the train, leaving the train station. So it was kind of it was symbolic because, yes, as you said, I was kind of entering, having this first experience on a new market, on a new universe. And like, I was leaving the station and facing right away Michael Mann, Adam Driver, and Ferraris. So it was good. I remember feeling that I was like starting the right way to shoot the movie and to have that experience. And yeah, it was cool. I remember one day before the first day of shooting, I went to the set because they wanted to take a picture of me to some props. And Adam was shooting this day, and I was there like look with a suit and the way my hair looks. And I remembered that day that exactly 10 years ago, I entered for the first time on a shooting set. And I was doing like a really, really small part on a soap opera, only one day of shooting. And I was kind of wearing a suit and my hair was kind of looking that way. So it was good to remember that starting point doing TV, because I started on theater, but that was the starting point on TV for me. And 10 years later, I was kind of wearing the same outfit and my hair was looking kind of the same, but I was about to start shooting Ferrari.
So many serendipitous moments where, you know you're on the right path because these things are all lining up in the right way.
Exactly. And things happen. I think if you think about 10 years, things happened really fast, but still what worked a lot through 10 years.
Of course.
So it wasn't like from the starting point to,
right, of course,
to the ending one, not ending, but to Ferrari.
There's a lot that happens in between, but sometimes it's good to take stock of those, where you started and where you are. Alfonso de Portago had such a colorful life. Like, I was reading about him, and how much research did you do into his life? I mean, was Michael asking you to do a lot of background research into his life, or was it just sort of contained in the sort of these few months of the movie?
There's no much out there about the Portago, but I found a book, kind of a biography that tells the story of his family and stuff. One cool thing, I found a vinyl of De Portago giving an interview in English.
Very cool.
Yes, to a radio station. And I'm a record collector, so I kind of found this obscure record on eBay. and I bought it. And it was good to listen to him speaking English. And that's why Michael asked me not to care about accent and to keep my own accent, my Brazilian accent, because the Portago was born in England.
Yeah, it was London, I thought.
He was from Spain because his dad was from Spain. His grandpa was king of Spain at some point, but his mom was from England. So I think he was born in England and he spent some time in France, in the US, of course, in Spain. So his accent was like kind of a world accent. Mm-hmm. But still, me and Michael, we talked a lot about the character. And one funny thing, Michael asked me to research and to find the posture of this guy, this noble guy. Even if he was a playboy, like has our script describes when I enter, when I'm leaving the train station, the script describes the character as reminds young Brando on The Wild One.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
The leather jacket.
Exactly. The way he looks. Exactly. So I rewatched all Brando's movies early years, of course, as a big important reference. But even if he was a playboy, he had this, he was also a noble. He was a marquis. So Michael wanted me to find this posture, this feeling. And he suggested me to have classical dancing classes. And I had it in Modena for, I don't know how many weeks, to find this open chest posture, this energy. That's it. There weren't much information about the Portago, but we had some cool pictures like the Kiss of Death. And it is on the movie, the minutes before he crashes. He has this kiss with his girlfriend at that time, that was Linda Christian. So we try to be as much close as possible to the real story. But unfortunately, we didn't have much information.
I love that there's like that we don't even really talk so much about in the film De Portago's aristocratic background, but he still wanted you to take dance so you could have this carry yourself as a noble person, as a marquis. I love that all the thinking that goes into that.
And also it's great because just when you're looking at you and the wonderful array of people, like we were just talking about, we were briefly talking about Jack O'Connell and Patrick Dempsey and some of those guys. And if you've got just different posture, it just looks different because some of those guys are, you know, they're so used to being in the cars and they're very hunched and different. One of my favorite scenes of the movie is you guys around or a couple of my favorite scenes actually is you guys in the back room, you know, lunching together as the cool racing team. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's like? Because everyone seems in that room like they're just on fire, especially Adam, obviously, who's doing the lion's share of the dialogue in those scenes. But can you talk about like the, I don't know, the connections? Because the maybe my favorite scene in the movie, it's hard to say because I need to watch it like seven more times to really get it. But it's my favorite scene is, you know, when Adam's talking to you about two things can't occupy the same space. You know, you guys are in that scene. I'd love you to take us to that moment because it feels like you guys would have all had a ball making that together and just being in the zone together like that.
Yes. That scene was really interesting the way we did it because, of course, it was only Adam, it was only Ferrari speaking in the room, and he was fully pissed off with us. Yes. It was like, I don't know how many pages of script for Adam. But still, even if he was talking to all the drivers, Michael told us that he was talking like more directly to me because of what happened.
Yes.
On the race between the Portago and Berra. So even if he wasn't looking at me the whole time, but we were sitting in front of each other. So, and I w- and he started shooting to Adam, all the cameras to Adam, and we did, I don't know how many times, because it was a beautiful speech, but also like with different dynamics and different approaches to the drivers. And then when he was done with Adam, he turned all the cameras to me, and he wanted me to play the whole reaction for the speech. And we did it, I don't know how many times.
Wow.
Just, it was just me in silence. Of course, reacting, Adam was there doing the speech, and Michael was trying all the different reactions and emotions with me. And it was, I mean, it was amazing, because he wasn't asking me to try different beats. He was asking me to try different, like, full reactions. Adam was doing the whole speech for me to try it again, for Michael to try it again. So, I mean, that's it. That's just how you said how much Michael cares about the characters and the scene. Even if when you watch the scene, there's probably like two quick moments of me reacting to the dialogue, but to the speech. But still, he wanted to build that connection between the two characters.
Did Patrick give you any driving tips?
Definitely, yeah, of course, because he was there practicing with us, with me and with Jack, and all the other guys on the table were the stunt drivers.
Oh, great.
So we knew all of them. We were practicing with all of them. And that's why Michael was so clever, in my opinion, to have the stunts as the other drivers, because we were already connected with them. So we had like our internal jokes. We knew, you know, we were spending lots of time together. So, and that's why I think that those scenes on the table were, well, I don't know, felt really real, because we were just having fun there most of the time.
Yeah.
Also, you're a playboy in this scene. So you get a great sensual Michael Mann sex scene in your first movie. Like, this movie has a conflicted other sex scene with Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz, so like Enzo and Laura. But like, I mean, speaking of off to the races, your clothes are off to the races, my friend. You get a sensual scene. It's awesome. It's like, is this like the dream? You're racing fast cars. You're a playboy. You're doing classical dancing. Like, it feels like this movie has absolutely everything you could possibly
everything.
Want. It's got everything.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The my first entrance on scene is described by, like, reminds Marlon Brando, what else could I ask for?
Exactly. Marlon Brando,
you're like,
romance,
you're like reading the script. You're like Marlon
cars.
Brando, drive cars through dangerous situations. Okay, yeah, sex scene, excellent. Get ripped into, like, in a fantastic 101 by Enzo. I mean, it's just outstanding.
Yeah, definitely.
You truly did it all in this movie.
You did it all. Look, we don't have that much more time, but Katie and I, you know, our show started as me unpacking One Heat Minute, and now we're going through all of Michael Mann's films. Katie and I especially are covering Miami Vice from 2006, which we both adore. And I just wondered, you started out with Last of the Mohicans, but as you've sort of grown and you've known Michael, what other Michael Mann movies, as sort of the last question, what kind of other Michael Mann movies are up there for you? Because I feel like even Australians, you know, like, I'm in Australia, but like Russell Crowe did everything he could do to work with Michael Mann, and Chris Hemsworth did everything he could do. So like, it's like, I think it's universal. It's almost like there's certain filmmakers that guys around the world are like, I want to work with that guy because his movies are like that. So do you have any other favorites you could tell us while we're wrapping up?
Yeah, I had this special connection with Mohicans because of the story I told. But of course, it's impossible not to mention Heat. For me, it's probably his masterpiece, and it's like a masterpiece on this genre of movies. I know it's a big reference for a bunch of guys that directed action after Michael, but actually it's I don't know, I think Michael never did a medium movie. I really like all of his movies. I think his career and his choices are so consistent, and especially working with him, I could understand why I've always felt that about his movies, because he cares so much about the universe. He cares so much about all of the research he does when he's like entering a new universe, and he really wants that to feel real. He really wants to bring the audience to inside the universe. So of the story he's telling, he's talking about. So it's hard. I mean, I think I rewatched all of his movies before Ferrari, and I pretty much like all of them.
Well, that's a good answer. We like that answer. So
we love that answer, and we've got a wrap. But look, thank you so much for talking to us. Congratulations on the film. Congratulations on the upcoming Center series. We're excited. And Heat 2 does shoot in Ciudad del Este. So if they need a South American character, I mean,
I'll be there.
Okay.
I mean, let's get it done. All right. Thank you so much, Gabriel.
Thank you.
Thanks, team. Thank you for
great
everything.
Talking to you.
Great talking to you. Appreciate your time so much. Thank you.
Bye.
Tasting plush, I'm feeling so alive. Wanna take it to the highway, come on, let's go for a drive. All my life, I've been waiting for a good time, a good time.
Let me ride, let me ride.
All my life, I've been waiting for a good time, a good time. So let me ride.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.